Good morning. Gary, thank you for that song. That'll preach. How many here is still fighting the war? It's already been won. I know I do that from time to time. I'm ready to fight something I've already got victory over. I love the Gaithers. I love their label. I love what they do in Christian music in Nashville. Thank you, Gary, for that song. Well, it's good to see everybody. It makes my heart feel good, man. We're starting to fill up. I like that. We got some guests. Make sure we say, hey, Matt. Good to have you, Matt. Come back. Preaching's not that good, but we'll love on you, and they feed you good here. So come on back. Good to have each and every one of you. I appreciate you. As you guys know, we're going through the book of James. And it's amazing. I thank God so much that his big brother spoke to him. His big brother had a communication with him. He laid it on his heart to write this book and become the first pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. I was hoping to get through chapter 2 last week, but that didn't happen. And so we're slowly walking through the book of James. But for a little bit of a recap, and I think it's in good context that we do this, I'm going to start and I'm going to read the first 13 verses again, just for you folks that haven't been here with us or have not been here every week, and then we'll go on into the first. I've only got three verses today to go over because I'd like to go further today, but at verse 14, it takes a direct shift, a different direction, and definitely, don't know how long it'll take to get through that, but we'll see. Starting at James chapter 2, verse 1. We're talking about favoritism, partiality, prejudice. James goes on to say, my brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to your faith in our gracious Lord Jesus Christ. For if someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and a poor person dressed in filthy clothes comes in, if you look with favor on the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here, it's a good place. Or yet you say to the poor person, stand over there, or come sit on the floor by my footstool. Haven't you made a distinction amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Didn't God choose the poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Yet, you have dishonored the poor. Don't the rich oppose you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the good name that was invoked over you? Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scriptures, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. If you, however, show favoritism, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. And here's where we're going to start this morning. For whoever keeps the entire law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you're a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are judged by the law of freedom. For the judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your reading of your word. We thank you for the gift of your word, Lord. We ask that you speak through me this morning, that it's not Bob, it's nobody come here to hear me, Lord, I hope. But speak to me in your spirit, Lord, that you prepared this message for these people. Something in this message is for each and every one of us. A lot of it's for me, Lord, and I thank you for that. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Triumph of mercy over judgment. What's mercy? What's mercy? Okay, what's mercy mean? We hear about it a lot. We hear about grace and mercy. Compassion, mercy is compassion or freedom or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or harm. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is in with one's power to punish or harm. James reminds us in this passage that whoever is a lawbreaker and stumbles on one point is guilty of them all. We're still going over favoritism. We haven't left that subject. We're still on favoritism. So he's saying whoever, because we don't look at that as a big sin. It's certainly not a capital sin. My goodness, God. I mean, we all are guilty of it. That's what James is telling us. And you have to take this into context where James is writing this. In the first church in Jerusalem, during the dispersion, he was talking about to that church that was being dispersed through Rome. He was talking to those people about that. No matter what we see here happening, we don't show favoritism. They were poor. They weren't showing favor. They were judging. You know, don't take this message wrong. Like, okay, the poor people are, you know, they're not guilty too. They are. We're all guilty in God's eyes. That's what he's saying here. If you commit sin in any one area, you're guilty of it all. That's kind of hard for me. I'm judgmental. That's my nature. I judge you by the way you look, the way you smell, the way you talk. I mean, that's just the way we do. That's the way we do. And I think the church is guilty of that. I think we don't realize we do that. Denominational judgment. Scriptural judgment. King James only judgment. All those things that come filter into the house. How do we judge each other? We shouldn't do that. That's what James is telling us. James challenges this notion, emphasizing that all sin, big or small, separate us from God. Somebody look up for me, 1 John, that's in the New Testament. It's one of them little books. It's not easy to find. Whoever giggled. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Somebody look it up. For us folks that don't think we have any issue with this, what's John tell us in 1 John? Okay, it says if we don't have any sin, we're fooling ourselves. We all have it. We all have different degrees of it. I'm not saying that, you know, it's some of us have a lot. I have a lot more than most of you folks. I'll be the first one to admit it. And most of my sin is pride, which is very destructive. One, I'd say the biggest destruction is pride. I think it's written somewhere where pride goes before. Yeah. I can't tell you how many people I've known that stood up here and have had a great ministry. I mean, they could preach down the... They'd get giggly and squealing and hollering, running around the church and raising their hands and all, and I've seen them fall flat because of pride. God forgive them. God help me not to be that. But I have it. I do. And I pray about that. But James calls us to a different standard. As followers of Christ, we're to live in the liberty granted to us by Jesus. James encourages us to speak and act with kindness and compassion, recognizing our own imperfections and the need for mercy. We need mercy, but we need to show mercy. Wow. The church in America needs to show mercy. We're not going to attract people by our doctrine. Doctrine's necessary. Don't throw doctrine out. Don't misread into this. But the church outside of the walls today, in the culture in which we live, look at us as weird, as judgmental. And rightfully so. That's what we do. You know? Somebody don't come to church for a few weeks, well, they really wasn't into it, no how. I didn't think they'd come much longer. You know, that's me. I'd be the first one to say that. Thomas, you don't come anymore. I'm going to talk about you. That's a sin. That's what we do. If you're not a part of our group, our demographics, and James threw all that out, he says in God's eyes, that's a sin. I wish he'd left it out, actually, because I need you to pray for me. Seriously, I need you to pray for me about that. James encourages us to speak and act with kindness and compassion. Recognize our own imperfections and the need for mercy. Speak and act with kindness. Is that what the church is doing in America today? Are we speaking and acting in kindness? How do we speak about the folks that are lined up at the border in Texas? How do we look at the immigrant catastrophe that's taking place in our country? I don't say it's not wrong. I don't say that we don't have laws in place that should be changed. But how do we look at those folks as individuals? How do we look at the people like I spoke with last week under the overpass that are down and out, that are homeless, that are hungry, that are drug addicted? How do we do that? How do we look at the young girl that comes into our church at 13 or 14 and you suspect that she may be with child? How do we look at that? How do I look at that? Because my sin is less than hers or his or theirs? I don't know. But James is reminding us of that. The beauty of God's mercy is it triumphs over judgment. As Christians, we have experienced this triumph through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Christ came, laid down his life, God incarnate, hung on a cross, shed his blood on me and each one of you that know him. And if you don't know him, we can fix that too. If you feel that call this morning, you're not sure, or you've grown cold, God's mercy that could have punished us triumphs because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. His blood has paid for our sins, ensuring that we are not permanently separated from him. I've heard a lot of people talk about how bad hell's going to be and how hot it's going to be and how thirsty you're going to be and how dark it's going to be and all those things. I don't know. I ain't got a clue. I ain't never been there. I don't plan on going. But I do know the greatest tragedy, and the word says this, is going to be the separation from God. It don't make sense to some people. It don't make sense. I mean, it's hard to put our heads around. Especially for the non-believer. Why in the world would that count? I'm going to go have a party. His blood has paid for my sins. Thank you, Jesus. As Gary sung this morning, it is finished. My goodness, folks, that ought to make you shout, even if you're Presbyterian. That ought to make you holler or do something, at least wink. Or I got a bunch of nods. That's cool. That's a big step. Yeah. What then should we do with our response to this profound mercy? How can we be better? I'm not saying we're not doing it. I'm not saying that we got it down pat, though, either. How can we be better in this region, in this community, as we grow our social media and as we grow our Facebook page and as we invite, I ain't picking on you, Matt, but as we invite, see more Matts walk through the door, more Jimmys walk through the door, what are they going to feel from you folks? How are we going to get better at this? How we get more loving at this? You know, I had a guy call me this week, and he didn't scold me, but we were discussing. He called me for counseling, and I said, "Why in the world would you call me?" Because he was dealing with an issue, money issue. Somebody he owed money for and didn't do the services, and long story short, he didn't think he owed him, but they were both brothers in Christ, and I had to go through that thing, and I told him about mercy. Just happened to be preaching about it this week, so I was all fired up about it. I was all studied up on it. If it had been a week before, I wouldn't have told him. I don't have this down pat, folks. I'm just, you know, this is new for me too. But I told him, I said, you know, you're brothers in Christ. What are you going to do? How are you going to show mercy to that man? How are you going to mend that? So how do we do that here at Walnut Grove? How do we, when we see this building filled up and the choir loft filled up, if it's just numbers, it don't matter. It don't make it. There's churches today here in Avery and Mitchell and Yancey County that are full to the brim. And there's also many churches here in Avery, Mitchell, and Yancey County that are dying on the vine or close to the vine. Doors will be locked forever. How do we make sure that's not us? How do we show people that mercy? That are really not easy to show mercy to sometimes. Christians are really weird people. They're weird. I mean, I've been a Christian. I've been around churches all my life. And they're weird. Y'all weird. You know, you believe different than most people. You act different than most people. But you cross most of us and we'll cut you to... Oh, my goodness. That thing right here, oh, it's sharp. and we don't mind sharing our beliefs and our doctrines and our you know, how are we going to do that? We're called to love. That's how you do it. We're called to love each other. We're called to love the people that don't believe like we do. We're called to love the people that don't know Jesus just as much as we're called to love one another. That's what James is telling us here. We got to love each other. Not just in saying so. Because there's probably going to be some things you're going to hear from me according to how the vote goes. And be praying about that. Hey, that's up to God. I think you guys have a part in it, but it ain't much of a part. I mean that. I believe if God wants me here, he'll keep me here. If God don't want me here, I'll be on down the road and I won't shed a tear either way. Because it's God's work that I'm about. It's not Bob. Man, I expect him to come back before I eat lunch. Seriously, Maranatha. Come on. I expect him to come back. We're living in the last days, the last moments of the last days, the last seconds of the last hour. Come on. But he didn't tell us when it was going to be, so we're here. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about everybody. I'm excited about that. You know, I just took my last antibiotic this morning. I've been on antibiotics for like, I mean, they were big. I didn't know where to put them. They said, be sure to eat some yogurt with it. I said, that's not good. That's not good. They said, make your stomach upset. Then they gave me this spray. Same thing, we'll do that. You know, so one went in my mouth, one went in the nose. Thank you, Jesus. But today was the last day of that. I've been feeling puny. I know a lot of you have. It's been going around. I had it for 2 months. I'm tired. You know, you'll ever hear me say some crazy stuff. You'll ever see me do some crazy things. But I'm going to do it because I've been on my knees. I'm going to do it because I've been with God. I'm going to do it because I'm sold out, folks. I'm sold out. I'm ready. And if I can share that with you, fine. I hope that is the case. I love each and every one of you. God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water, or deprive the sun of its light, or make space too narrow, then diminish the great mercy of God. That's Charles Spurgeon. God's mercy is so great. Think about it yourselves, folks. How much mercy and how many times has God shown us that in my lifetime? My goodness, you couldn't count on it. I guarantee you, if I've still got the original guardian angel that God gave me, he's weary. He's not as bad. I mean, there was a time that he was weary. But he showed me mercy. My goodness, that makes me, oh my goodness. It's not because I'm a better person. It's not because I'm standing in front of you guys, because each one of you could do this. It's got nothing to do with that. It's because God has been merciful to me, a sinner, still a sinner, still dealing with stuff. Heck, if I get to the point where I'm not sinning anymore, if I get to the point where I don't show favoritism, man, I got a whole mess of stuff beyond, way before favoritism I got to deal with. And so do each one of you. Each one of us have that. Matthew 7:2 tells us, for with what judgment you judge. Ooh, wait a minute now. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the mercy you use, it will be measured back to you. You're not talking about salvation here, folks. James is talking to the church here. He's talking about what comes out of our mouth when we're sitting at the coffee shop with the other men? What comes out of our mouth when I was sitting at the fly shop in Spruce Pine year after year after year and all these people would come in And people are looking at me, I'm the one that's different. I'm the one that's a Christian. For with what judgment you judge? Who in here don't judge? Oh. Okay, that's for all of us. Somebody raise their hand anyhow. You do so. You judge me this morning. Pray for my... I want you to pray for Val, because she's a part of this vote that's coming up, and I didn't really, anyhow, pray for Val. It's funny that my brother Gary talked about the Gaithers. I've got friends that are on the Gaither recording label. They're really good. You don't get on the Gaither recording label unless you are really good. One of my favorite recording artists with the Gaithers is Gordon Mote. He doesn't have any eyes. He don't see. But he plays piano just like Gary. He's amazing. He's good. Awesome piano player. And from a sermon illustration this morning, and you're going to love this, Brother Kurt, I'm going to read. I was going to sing it. But I said, I was going to sing it. We'll sing it someday. Pray for my accompaniment. You know, it's like on our Brother We're All Tag. You know, pray for my accompaniment. Because Val's got all kind of guitars. She told me this week she doesn't play now because she got arthritis. But she waited 66 years to get arthritis, so that's another whole story. But be praying for it. Huh? No, I don't mean that to be judgmental. How's that? That's Christian. That's that Christianese we talk about. I don't mean that to be judgmental. Okay. Listen to the words of this song. I'm just going to do the first. It's a real short song anyhow. It said, I stood in the courtroom. Anybody heard the song Mercy Walked In? Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. Oh, it'd make you move. I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned my way. He said, looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor. I have no defense. Oh, but that's when mercy walked in. Mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Called to the stand, God's saving grace. The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and I wondered, how could this be? Someone so guilty had just been set free. My chains are broken. I've been born again. The moment mercy walked in. Folks, that's what our Lord and Savior did for each one of us. If you know Him today, you're going to stand before a mighty God that judges perfectly. And He's going to say, because of mercy, come and enter in. I want everybody. I want my friends. I want my neighbors. I want everybody, people I haven't even met yet. I want those men that we're going to go next weekend to Avery Mitchell Prison. I want them to know that. It's available. It's free. The call to mercy. Luke 6:38. This verse has been mommocked and beat up. You know, if you've got a pastor that preaches a lot about money, he uses this several times a year. I'll read it to you. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Luke 6:38. Every prosperity preacher in the world uses that time and time again. Give, and it will be given to you. Jesus ain't talking one bit about money. Not one bit. He's talking about mercy. That's what He's speaking about. He's speaking about mercy. He's telling us, be merciful. Be merciful and be given back to you, He says. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. How we treat other people, that's how other people's going to treat us. Man, I wish I'd learned this when I was in my 20s. It would have saved a whole bunch of hospital visits and teeth implants. You know, I learned the hard way. Mercy. In other words, if you're merciful to others, if you're forgiving toward others, if you're kind and compassionate with others, then when you need mercy and grace and kindness, and you will, it will be given to you. But if we have been harsh in our judgment, if Bob is harsh in his judgment, if I have been a fault finder or a sin sniffer, guys, sin sniffers in the church? Any sin sniffers? Nah, not here. Son, I've been in churches that they sniff. They sniff. I come out of a Pentecostal background, most of you know, and that we spent a lot of time sniffing. Oh, did you see what she wore? Lord knows that woman's going to hell. Oh, my goodness. Did you see how short that dress was? You women get it. Now, men can dress any kind of way they want to. But you women, I've been in services where, did you see her head wasn't covered? Lord, no, she didn't. Sin sniffing. We ain't none guilty of that, so we'll move on. When you need mercy from others, there won't be any. So how do we do this? How do we cultivate a merciful heart? How do we do it? How do I do it? I want to encourage each one of you to reflect on that this week. And the ones that think they've already got it down pat, I want you really to think about it. Because this whole book of James is like that. It's very revealing. It puts my life under a microscope and brings it out, and I can see it, and I'm thinking, Lord, I'm guilty of everything he talks about. Currently, standing in front of people teaching. So the ones that think they don't have an issue with this, the church that thinks they don't have an issue with this, they need to pray more. They do. I'm sorry, but that's who we are. I want to encourage you. And I want you to do that through self-reflection and prayer. You know, the old men, I've had the opportunity to speak to a lot of old men that's been walking in the faith a long time. Old men, like Charlie's age. Old men, been walking with Jesus a long time. Pretty soon Bob's age, Lord willing. And the one thing I get for those men, Brother Kurt, it's amazing. None of them talk about how much they've read the Word of God. None of them talk about how much they've been to church. None of them talk about how much they gave to the poor. But the one thing they talk about is, if I had to do it all over again, if I could start back at the beginning, I'd develop a stronger prayer life. I would pray more. I would. You know, I was so hungry for the Word that I gave up my prayer life. I've heard that from old men. I like to hang around people that's wiser than me. That's not hard for me to do. Seriously, I'm not being funny. But those old men will tell you, if I could have just prayed more. Church, we need to be a church of prayer. We need to be a church that prays, not just a church that prays in the beginning of a service or the end of the service or before somebody speaks. And we need to do this at home as well as we need to do it here, because there's a lot of ammunition that we have that's not at our disposal because we may not pray enough. I've seen dead people rise. I've seen sick people healed. And I mean dead people and dead in sin. Don't get crazy on me. People that can't hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit gets into them and opens their ears. That's what we're talking about in the New Covenant. Nobody in here has got the gift of raising people from the dead. It may happen on the fringes of our mission fields. I don't know. But what I'm talking about is we have the availability of that. Addictions of all kinds. No need to list them, but we all know what we're talking about. Addictions of all kinds. Deliverance. Father, that's what I'm talking about. I invite that for you to have that prayer life this morning. We should establish a time, maybe one Wednesday night, that we just, you know, we gather every other Wednesday night for you folks, and the food's good. Pretty affordable. I mean, I don't have any problem with the cost. They don't charge you anything. So, and if you're new, you don't have to worry about bringing anything. If you haven't come one Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night will be outdoors. We're going to try something different. So wrap up. I don't imagine we're going to do it, but we'll see. We'll see what the weather does. But I was joking about the outdoors part. Exactly. Good point. See what old fellows tell you? See, he's a smart guy. His soup gets fast, gets cold fast. But yeah, we need to have a house of prayer. I've got a whole bunch of ideas going forward. Most of them are okay. Some of them you're not going to agree with. I'll be honest with you, I'll tell you right now. Some of them are going to be uncomfortable. On the day that we vote, are you going to vote after I preach or before I preach? That's got a lot to do with my message. No, I'm good.
We'll surprise.
I guarantee it. I will be surprised. But whatever happens, my last Sunday of the month, I'm not done yet. My last Sunday of the month, my message is going to be about my vision for Walnut Grove. A lot of people have asked me, a ton of y'all have asked me, what are you going to do? I don't know, but I got an idea. And the conversation I had with my buddy this week that called for counseling, I kind of got away from that subject. He spoke into that really well this week because they were the young couple that sat over there and took all the pictures from Wilmington. We talk almost every day for like an hour and a half, like two old women. Val says, it's because she don't have anybody to talk to. But yeah, he spoke into me, and he really gave me a word of wisdom this week. It's funny how God is. This guy calls for counseling for me. Wonder how I should handle this situation with this money that he's paid and the services weren't rendered, but he's a Christian. And he ends up counseling me, and he didn't even he had no clue when he called that he was even going to speak into me. He said, I got something I want to tell you, and it was spot on. How in the world? You know, I prayed that morning, Lord, you know, help me. So, let's pray. Lord, forgive us for the ones that we have treated wrong. For the ones that we've hurt. Help us to see them with the eyes of unconditional love like you do. Through our prayers and our actions, Lord, help us to show mercy to those who are in need of it most. Give us the grace to truly pray for all people like you've instructed us to do, Lord. That they may know your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And one last thing. John 13:35, one of my favorite books or verses in the Bible, Gospel of John. 13:35. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. We got to love one another, folks. The world's hungry for that. We ain't got to judge one another. We ain't got to find fault with one another. There's time for church discipline, but that's being used a whole lot more out on the sidewalk as people walk in and leave the church than it should be. That's not what I'm talking about. The world is looking for people that are sold out for Jesus, that actually love one another. Help us, Lord, to be that. Thank you, folks.